Good morning and welcome to worship. It's great. Thank you. I had one good morning back. Give me five. All right. Happy Labor Day weekend, and our thoughts and prayers are with those of our church family that are traveling this weekend, and hope all of you have a nice and restful time. Call your attention to the announcements in your bulletin and also about the University of Faith. And the teenagers will meet this Tuesday. They will be meeting in the Robert Moore classroom. Our prayers and our thoughts and our love go out to the Arnold family. Fran Arnold passed away this weekend. Service visitation will be Tuesday from 12 to 12:50, and memorial service here in the sanctuary at 1 o'clock. And I know you'll want to keep them in your thoughts and your prayers during the week. Youth will not meet tonight because of Labor Day weekend. Chase has an announcement for you about an upcoming event.
Good morning. All right. See, it works better when you're the second person up. I have a very exciting opportunity for all of us to be a part of. For the past year that I've been here, I've heard a lot of different interest in reaching out to the apartment complexes that are around our church. And I know that in those conversations I've had with folks, this has been of some interest to take on for the past several years. And I want you to know that we, on September 28th at 2 p.m., we're going to take goodie bags and food bags, along with an invitation, not only telling the folks there about our worship services, but also inviting them to our fall festival. This is a really exciting opportunity to get out into our neighborhood and really reach and invite folks to be a part of our fellowship and fun. There's lots of children's activities at our fall festival, and so it's a great opportunity to reach out to them. So I'm letting you know that first here on this Labor Day weekend. So this is an exclusive announcement, right? And also, I want you to know that we're going to have two opportunities for training, because we don't want you to go up to a door empty-handed with not really the right tools or the words to say. So on September 14th, during Sunday school, there will be an opportunity for training. And also at noon after our worship services on September 21st, there will be another opportunity. I hope that you will participate in these trainings, and that on September 28th, we will gather at 2 o'clock and go to a couple different apartment complexes and invite them to our fall festival. Thank you.
On in the life of the church. Let's take a moment and meet and greet one another.
Thank you. stand and have our call to worship. Trust in the Lord and do good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
God is our refuge and strength.
Christ Jesus, who came as a ransom for all, to whom we testify, the saying is sure, full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by the angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in throughout the world, taken up in glory. Great indeed is the mystery of the gospel.
About remote controls. Okay? Remote controls, if you place it in your hand, what do they do? A remote control to what? Turn on the TV. There's a remote control to an Xbox. There's a remote control to the TV screen. Maybe to open your garage door. Maybe to open your car. Okay, the remote control to video games. Yeah, there's some with Disney. Okay. There's a lot of things. But if I place that remote control right there, does it work? Why? Because I put it down. But does it have to be in your hand in order for it to work? Yes, that is correct. Well, the reason why I wanted to talk about that today was because, you know, God has a lot of special plans for us, doesn't he? Today, tomorrow, 20 years from now. But you know what? We have to be in his hands in order to make those plans work. Just like the remote control. Because you know what? If I put the remote control down, it doesn't work. But you know what? If I'm in God's hands, he's got all these special plans for us. Just like I pick up the remote control and it works. Okay? So I want us to remember as we go each day that God has special plans and he wants us to be in his hands. Because if we're in his hands, he's got a lot of great things for us planned for years to come. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for all the wonderful plans that you have for us. In your son's holy name we pray. Amen.
We are very pleased today to have Scott and Lisa Odena to come and share with us. They've shared and played with several times. Scott is our publications director at the church, and we are very glad to have them. They attend another church, and we are just so thankful that they're able to come and share with us on occasions.
This is, in August, we do a lot of hymns out of the Cokesbury hymnal, and then it stops after August. So this is sort of the transition hymn from the Cokesbury to the red hymnal, or the purple in this church. In the Cokesbury, it was called My Savior's Love. And then the hymnal committee decided, oh, we're going to keep that one and let it go to the next hymnal, but we're going to make a longer name for it. So it's called I Stand Amazed in the Presence. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden, he prayed not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me.
Who always impress me with their multiple talents and their wonderful dedication to the church. They're good people. We're glad they're with us today. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear God, in the midst of all the turmoil and trouble and loss and hurt in this world of ours, we pause for a few moments this morning to acknowledge that you are the one who is truly, ultimately in charge of all that is. It is your children that you've created that cause the problems in this world. We confess that without our straying, without our following evil ways, the world would be a much better place. But we're thankful for the outpouring of your love for us. We are grateful that you love us in spite of ourselves. We are grateful that we have these moments to express publicly our faith, our love, and our loyalty to you. Help us when we don't know where to turn. Bless us as we try to help others. Enable us to use that spirit that you alone can give to minister to the needs of all of us who from time to time have fallen astray. We pray for those this morning who have suffered loss, some so close to us, some that we know in the news, and some who have gone out into the world to defend the faith and freedom that we share in this nation. Help us, dear God, to feel the peace of your Spirit, the love that you have shared with us in Jesus Christ, and the grace that you've poured out upon all. We pray in the name of him, your Son, who taught his disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I noticed as I came through the activity center this morning that the school building on the wall just has a few spaces left to be filled. You know, this is our mission project for this month. And I'd hate for anybody to miss the opportunity to put a brick on that school building. So I want to remind you, $10 a brick, a few more bricks, and we will not only succeed, but we'll go over our goal. So you remember that as you seek to honor God in mission. Let us pray. Dear God, again, remind us that it is you that has made everything, and that we are stewards of your possessions. We confess that often we say me and mine, when we should be saying, praise be the Lord. Help us to be generous in our offering this morning as we offer our possessions and ourselves to the work of your church.
Meditation, hymn 467, Trust and Obey.
Thank you.
I invite you to turn in your Bibles to the fourth chapter of Philippians, the 11th through the 13th verses. Hear now these words. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The death of America's beloved comic, Robin Williams, stunned the world. Here was a talented artist who entertained us from Mork and Mindy to Mrs. Doubtfire and everything in between. He was a master of improvisation. He made us look at ourselves and he made us laugh at ourselves. And seemingly, Robin Williams had it all together, conquering his own demons. It seems that in the last few months, we have been stunned more and more. We have seen an aircraft disappear from the face of the earth with hundreds of innocent people. We have seen a passenger jet blown out of the sky by a missile. These two events combined took a total of over 500 lives. We've been stunned by the aggressiveness of Russia and ISIS. August the 22nd, Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel and General Martin Dempsey, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said, "This is beyond anything we have seen, and we must prepare for everything." We were stunned when an American journalist was beheaded. We were stunned when we learned that children were being abducted and sold into slavery. We were stunned when we've seen the violence across America and the needless shootings and loss of life. We're stunned at the economy. We're stunned at the loss of jobs. We're stunned at homelessness. We're stunned even at the death of a loved one. And on and on and on the list could go. If we're honest with ourselves, we sometimes wonder if we can have confidence in anything anymore. In government, police, the economy. I think if we're really honest with ourselves, we wonder if we can have confidence in God. We ask ourselves, what about this need I've had so long, God? Don't you care? What about my broken heart, God? Don't you care? I've prayed and prayed and prayed. God, do you hear me? God wants us to have confidence in, to lean on Him, to trust Him. And He does hear us. He's the only one that knows how and when to answer our prayer. Despite the fact that sometimes we think we know better. And yes, He does want to have us to have confidence and trust in Him. The afternoon of August 17th, I was standing in the driveway of a parking lot looking at the Moore family roadster. It had been the victim of flash floods that hit Maumelle. And as it was being pulled out of the water that engulfed the front of the car and into the cabin of the car and up to the seats, I thought, you know, we've been evacuated by firemen. It'd been a great day. We were on our way to a family birthday party. We were looking forward to the Asbury's Got Talent show. And I'm standing there soaking wet, looking at my car being pulled out and it dripping water, gushing water out of it. And I thought, God, where were you, man? And then this still small voice spoke to me, and it said, David, I was right here in front of the Oak Grove Fire and Rescue Station. That's where you sunk it. It was raining so hard we didn't know we were in front of the fire station. God was with us. Oftentimes we think he's not. Just for that brief moment in that flood, but in reality, God is with us all the way. When we feel hopeless and helpless or powerless, unable to deal with people or problems, we're on the verge of losing it. We're on the verge of losing our confidence. We're not alone. It's happened to people all through history. Knowing that a savage army of Babylonians would soon plunder his homeland, Habakkuk was discouraged and he was worried. Surely the coming destruction would be absolutely unbearable. Yet, despite the disheartening scenario, Habakkuk penned an amazing response. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on high places. Even if the crops all failed, the livestock died, and everything he'd learned to depend on was ruined, Habakkuk would still trust in the Lord. Where did the prophet find such hope in the face of such a terrible calamity? The loss of everything was impending and the destruction. For one thing, he'd been strengthened by God's word. His expression of faith closely echoes and resembles the words of David uttered centuries before. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Also, Habakkuk had a great deal of time alone with God. The book that bears his name is a record of his extended conversation with God concerning his ways and plans. And while he didn't particularly understand or particularly like what he heard from God, he acknowledged the fact that his ways are best. He trusted the Lord for the future of Israel. He trusted the Lord for his own life. Regardless of the circumstances, the prophet knew that the Lord was at work and would bring good out of what seemed to be horrendous circumstances. This is God's promise to us. He is always at work in our lives to bring good out of the darkest situations. Paul says in Romans 8, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. As God's people, we have only one way to face life, and that's confidently. After all, think about it. God loves us. He saved us. God is committed to guiding us through every moment of life. God wants us to live confidently. But too often, it's like Tom's prayer this morning. We get in the way. We kind of mess things up. We allow our feelings, our personal inadequacy, or our feelings of unworthiness, our circumstances, to derail our faith. We allow ourselves to kind of make a mess of things. The Apostle Paul lived through horrendous circumstances. He was rejected by his Jewish peers. He was rejected and abandoned by his family. He was stoned. He was abandoned for dead. He was ridiculed, ignored, and often beaten. Imprisoned for his devotion to Christ. But Paul continued to maintain a confident hope right up to the very end. Paul brought Christianity to the Gentiles. Paul brought us this message of love. He penned some of the most fantastic letters that are still our guide today. If you love people, really love them. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not arrogant or boastful. Love is not jealous or boastful. Love is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things. Love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. You think about a person who'd been persecuted and gone through the things that the Apostle Paul went through, and then you hear those words. Faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. And how did he accomplish it? The Apostle Paul relied on the cornerstone of his faith. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. He focused on the Lord just as Jeremiah had. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. The Lord is good to those who hope in him, to the one who seeks him. Therefore, I have hope in him, he says in Lamentations 3. Paul also understands the nature of God. God is faithful and does not change his love for us. His love for his children is not fickle or conditional. God doesn't put strings on his love and care for us like we do. We put strings on our relationships. You do something for me, I'll do something for you. You do that, I'll do this. We may not always stand by our friends when they wrong us or when they disappoint us or let us down. But think about this. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what Paul realized about his God. Unwavering, unchanging, devoted to each and every one of us. He loves us today, and he will tomorrow, and he'll love us all the way into eternity. Paul realized that to have his needs met, he had to trust God completely with his very life. And that's where we begin. We trust God with our very being. Paul understood too that he had to obey God and allow him to work in and through his life. And he had to wait for God to have patience. You know, we're like that little quote, God, give me patience and I want it right now. That's the way we are. We want everything instantly. We want to go to the microwave of faith and we punch in 3 seconds and we get whatever we need to come out the door. We want it right now. And we don't want to wait. We have to trust and have patience that God knows what we need, when we need it, and the right time to give it to us. And the answer may not be what we want. We have to be like Paul, and we have to keep our eyes focused on God. and follow him. It worked for Paul on the road to Damascus, and it continued to work for him all along his journey of faith and service. That trust that he had in God had profound results. And it's not easy. There are times we want to give up. There are times we want to give in. There are times we don't think we have what it takes to keep going. And we're tired. And we're bone weary. And we're frustrated. And we hurt. And then we hear the prophet of Isaiah. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. You know, I never found a scripture text that said that because I believe in Jesus, that I'll have a carefree life, and that I won't have problems, and that I won't have issues. But what I have found is that my faith and my trust in God gives me a framework to handle those inevitable issues. When the outlook looks grim, when the circumstances seem volatile, when the future appears uncertain and scary, Christ is the hope. Christ is the strength. Christ is the stamina that never runs out. Christ is the faithfulness that never abandons. It is the God, the Lord of our life, who always keeps his promises. Thomas Chisholm had a difficult life as an adult. His health was so fragile that there were periods of time when he was confined to his bed and unable to work. Between bouts of illness, he would have to push himself to put in extra hours at various jobs in order to make ends meet. He accepted Christ at age 27. And Thomas found great comfort in the scriptures and in the fact that God was faithful to be his strength in time of illness and provide his needs. One of his favorite scriptures, it is all the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassion fails not. Great is his faithfulness. And while away from home on mission trips, Thomas often wrote to one of his good friends, William Ryan, poems. Several poems were exchanged in these letters. And Runyon, a music composer, found one of William's poems so moving that he decided to compose a musical score to accompany the lyrics. You know what that hymn was? Great is thy faithfulness. Published in 1923. For several years, it got very little recognition. And then it was discovered by the Moody Bible Institute. And a particular professor wanted it played at almost every worship service they did, and it became the unofficial song of the college. In 1945, George Beverly Shea began to sing Great Is Thy Faithfulness at the Billy Graham Evangelistic Crusades. And that was when the hymn was heard around the world. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail now. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thou hast provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Hear this. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. The bottom line is this. Our confidence may be shaken by a lot of forces. However, we have a faithful God who will always help us. He will always help us through our difficulties. Our God is stronger than any force of evil or destruction that this world has ever seen. And he will help us handle our burdens and our fears. And this is why we can be strong and with confidence answer the question this morning. Yes, we can find confidence in God. Great is thy faithfulness. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If there are those among us who would wish to become a part of this church family, I encourage you to come as we stand and sing our hymn 140, Great is Thy Faithfulness. If you would like to come to the rail and have a moment of prayer, please feel free to do so as we stand and sing. remind you to keep our prayer concerns in your thoughts and prayers during the coming week. Our love and sympathy goes to Harold Smith in the loss of his brother as well this week. I appreciate Scott and Lisa and our choir and Angel, and most especially I appreciate Brother Tom being our liturgist today. Amen. As you leave this place today, remember who you are and whose you are. And remember the words, "All I have needed, thy hand provided. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Great is thy faithfulness." In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.